This podcast is to supplement your consent form when discussing the risks for abdominoplasty or similar procedures such as a circumferential abdominoplasty, belt lipectomy, or body lift. With every surgery that we perform, there is always a risk of bleeding. While blood loss from a traditional abdominoplasty is not very significant, if you're doing lots of body areas and simultaneous surgeries, you can in fact lose quite a bit of blood during surgery and in the next few days. The risk goes up a little bit more if we're using anticoagulation to prevent clotting problems. Now, clotting problems tend to be more risky for causing a death after a surgery. So that's our priority, is to prevent clotting. It is exceedingly rare that somebody would die because of a bleeding complication. So if you have any religious beliefs that stop you from receiving blood, be sure you make that clear at your pre-op appointment. Now, with every surgery, there's also a risk of infection, and most of the bacteria that causes infection actually comes in on your own skin. By having the pubic hair and the hair on the lower abdomen waxed rather than shaving, this actually reduces your risk of infection. We also recommend that you take a HibaCleanse shower the night before your surgery and the morning of your surgery to further decrease this risk. You'll receive IV antibiotics prior to your surgery, and that will be redosed during your surgery and may continue for 24 hours after surgery. At this time, we go by kind of a case-by-case situation as to whether or not we have you continue taking antibiotics once you pass the 24-hour mark. It seems counterintuitive, like why don't you just put everybody on antibiotics? But unfortunately, staying on prophylactic antibiotics can increase your risk to infection for more resistant organisms, such as methicillin-resistant Staph aureus. When your abdominoplasty is closed, there is a fairly long scar across the lower abdomen. And in many cases, this is closed under some tension. So that scar could become a little wider, and the ends of the scar over the hip bone on either side can sometimes have a little contour irregularity where it pooches out a little bit, and that's called a dog ear. If you're having a circumferential procedure, typically you won't see dog ears, because what the dog ear represents is when you're going from an area of significant tightness, which is usually the central portion of the abdomen, and then as we close that incision, it becomes less tight as we go around towards the hip bone. Some patients don't have laxity all the way around, but most patients do. So we take that incision out as far as we can to make that contour look small, but in some cases, it's common that we can improve upon the final lateral aspect of that scar in the office later with just local anesthetic. So that's called a dog ear revision, and if necessary, we can definitely do that. We usually wait for about a year so that we can make sure everything is healed well and make sure there are no other areas of your scar that might need some attention. It's very important that when you're ready to start your scar care, that you really pay good attention to this. And I recommend that people do it for at a minimum of 3 months postoperatively. Our favorite scar care that we have in the office is silicone gel sheeting. And we also have a very kind of an innovative form of silicone gel that also involves adhesive called Embrace. And if you don't have a problem with tape or adhesive, you may choose to use this on part or all of your abdominoplasty scars. Now, the abdominoplasty and body lift type procedures involve very extensive undermining. And what happens is we cut a lot of that tissue away from its blood supply. This is the reason why we do not like performing these surgeries in smokers, because smokers don't have good circulation when they have the nicotine in their system, and significant areas can die or necrose. That's the medical term for either the skin or the fat dying back. If you have previous scars on your abdomen, This could also increase your risk. Thinner patients with lower BMIs actually heal a little bit better. Patients that have a thick subcutaneous fat level or who are overweight, fat doesn't have a really great blood supply, so they're at a little more risk for having the fat not survive the surgery. We like to use compression after surgery, but we don't want that compression to be so tight that it is impeding the blood supply. The blood supply is going to be coming from under your breast down and from the sides of your abdomen towards the center. So you would not want anything too tight across your mid or upper abdomen because that can impede blood flow to the lower abdomen and result in tissue necrosis. When I always recommend to patients that when they're just lying in bed after surgery, that it's absolutely fine to unzip their garment or unvelcro their binder and be more comfortable and also get better blood supply in that area. Now, when you get up to walk around, it is more comfortable to have your garment tight, but from a case-by-case standpoint, I may make different recommendations, but in general, I like people to undo their garment when they're just resting. It kind of lets the blood supply be as good as it possibly can, and also allows you to breathe a little bit deeper because you'll find that if we have tightened up your abdominal muscles, breathing deeply is difficult and people tend to breathe a little more shallowly. In the hospital, you'll be given a little plastic device called an incentive spirometer. And what that does is helps you to practice taking very deep breaths to re-expand your lungs. Because we're at high altitude, sometimes people's oxygen levels are a little low after surgery like this, and there is a chance that you might need to go home on supplemental oxygen. So we really try to get you breathing deep and up walking soon after surgery to give you the best pulmonary function possible right after your surgery. Now, probably the biggest and scariest risk associated with this surgery is a deep venous thrombosis. A deep venous thrombosis is a blood clot that forms in the deep, large veins in your leg. And because of the type of surgery where we're tightening you so much in the abdominal area and also making it difficult for you to get up and walk around quickly after surgery, a deep venous thrombosis is a real risk. We try to screen patients that might be at high risk for clotting disorders before surgery, and we also try to do everything possible to decrease your risk by stopping supplemental hormones like estrogens or birth control pills, and also having a workup if necessary through your primary care or hematologist if you have a strong family history. You will have stockings on your legs that pulsate during surgery. There are white TED hose and then inflatable stockings called SCDs, sequential compression devices, or plexi pulses that wrap around your feet. And this helps reduce the risk of blood clots happening during surgery. If you're staying in the hospital, you'll also be wearing these when you're just laying in bed. We'll also give you a dose of subcutaneous heparin, which helps to decrease blood clots during your surgery. Once I see you the day after your surgery, as long as I'm not concerned about excessive bleeding, you will likely be placed on another blood thinner to help prevent blood clots during your healing phase, and this could be a Lovenox shot or some form of an oral medication. Now, after your surgery, if we've removed significant amounts of weight in your lower abdominal area, and a lot of times these surgeries are combined with liposuction and other sites, you are at risk for gaining weight in areas that did not have body contouring surgery. This could mean that some people, if their weight goes up, may see their breast size getting a little bit larger, maybe carrying more weight in their buttock area or in their legs. And sometimes people even put on weight more intra-abdominally, which is around the intestines, which is not accessible to surgery. To help reduce the risk of unintended weight gain, I do recommend that after about a month after your surgery, I think you should weigh yourself at least once a week until you're back to all of your regular activities to make sure that that weight is not creeping back on. Your activity level will be lower than normal for a while. You'll likely not be starting cardio for a minimum of 6 weeks. And for the real hardcore exercisers that do things like boot camp classes, it's going to be about a three-month break that you're going to need to take. Now, overall, abdominoplasties tend to be very, very popular surgeries, and patients tend to be very happy with them. There are some things that may not meet every patient's expectations. One problem that people talk about a lot is that they would like their scar to be very low on their abdomen. And we don't have a big choice of where that scar is going to fall. It has a lot to do with how laxed your upper abdomen is. If we have a hard time stretching the skin from above the belly button all the way to the lower abdomen, we may actually need to leave a vertical or up and down scar at the lowest point. Usually, if we're at concern that this is going to happen, I'll discuss it with you at your pre-op appointment or at your consultation. Sometimes umbilical piercings are a little bit higher, and I have a hard time getting those out as well. The other thing is, some people feel like just because they're having an abdominoplasty and maybe some liposuction, that they might be skinny after this. And really, this is to help improve an hourglass shape and your overall shape, to repair where muscles have separated, to remove extra skin. But not everyone is actually going to look thin after this surgery. It has a lot to do with your pre-existing body shape and body weight. Also, some people are unhappy that they feel like they can't tighten their muscles as much as they thought they could afterwards. And this is more of a motor problem. We are only able to bring together the gap at the what's called a linea alba, or the space between the rectus muscles, or six-pack muscles that travel down your abdomen. So by bringing those muscles closer together in the midline, what that's going to allow is a more ergonomically correct use of your abdominal wall muscles, but we can't give you strength. A lot of patients don't have great core strength, especially if they had a significant rectus diastasis, and this may take a while for you to actually achieve good core strength later with good exercise. Another issue that can happen after this surgery, and it actually does happen in everyone after the surgery, is numbness across the lower abdomen. That is because of the undermining that's performed, where we cut the skin away from its nerve supply and advance it down. So this will get better as time goes by, but it's would be extremely common and expected to have some areas of numbness in your lower abdomen that will not come back. Also, people can have some prolonged pain. This is a pretty uncomfortable procedure, and we do a lot of things at the time of surgery to try to make this more comfortable. One of the things that we're using is a long-acting numbing medicine that we put in the muscles so that you're more comfortable for the first couple of days after surgery. We also like to use different modalities for pain control, including a medication like Celebrex, if you're able to take that, which is like a very strong ibuprofen that doesn't cause bleeding complications. So you can take that after surgery. We actually start patients who can take that in pre-op holding. We also use Valium as a muscle relaxant, and then usually a narcotic with Tylenol, such as Percocet. When people get back to exercising more, they may experience an increase of pain, sometimes some shooting pains or some sharp pains once their muscle starts engaging again. And this can be very common, and it usually passes once you've gotten back to your regular fitness levels. So overall, this is a surgery that we take very seriously. We want to make sure that our patients are selected well, and that we try to keep all of the risks to a minimum. And part of that is where your body weight is, what medications you take, whether or not you're a smoker, and how fit you are. Also, if you have additional medical problems, that could come into play. So we want to make sure you're as healthy as possible for this surgery. Overall, this is one of the most popular surgeries in plastic surgery because of the amazing changes it can do to your abdominal area after pregnancies and after massive weight loss. So I wish you the best of luck with your surgery, and we both play a role in this. So hopefully you'll understand and follow your post-op instructions well, so that you can get the best result possible.